Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Holland & Barrett. They believe that when it comes to improving your health and wellness, it doesn't matter whether you're taking giant leaps or starting with small steps. If you're tempted to try a plant-based diet this year, then Holland & Barrett are encouraging you to go vegan your way and start with some simple, tasty swaps like oat milk in your coffee or peanut butter on your toast. If you want to get a daily dose of more inspiration, visit hollandandbarrett.club, where you can join their hashtag #veganyourway WhatsApp group for recipe ideas and exclusive discounts. Hello and welcome to the Sherlock's Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Corridge-Cole. This week, I'm joined by Lou Huff, Georgina Blasky, and our new health and beauty editor, Rebecca Hall, otherwise known as Becky.
Yes, Becky's perfect.
Hi, Becky. Welcome.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
And I'm so excited to have you in your first podcast.
Yeah, I know. This is exciting. It's only been a week, but I'm
already... Are you on week two at Sherlock's now?
Yeah, this is my second week. Diving straight in.
Nothing like throwing you in the deep end, is there? Well, we always start with a bit of what everyone's been up to. So, did you have a good weekend?
Really nice weekend. It was so cozy because it was cold. I didn't really do much, so this is a slightly boring weekend for me, but I did go for drinks in Brighton and then at a place called the Gin Tub where you ring for gin.
Oh, fun.
Bit of fun. And then literally I had a Harry Potter binge yesterday, which sounds really sad, but they keep putting them on the TV. So yesterday I just enjoyed it. I just embraced being indoors by the fire.
Do you know, it's funny that you said that, because I started reading Harry Potter to my daughter for the first time.
Really? I've never read the books.
And I was like, oh, I'm really excited for this. Have your children read them, Georgina?
Do you know, I hate to admit it, they don't really like them. Yeah, they don't. They love the films. My son loves the films, but he's, I think, typical boy, finds reading a long book challenging. Yeah. So he kind of likes David Walliams and things like that are funny, with a few sketches in.
Yeah. David Walliams books, so good.
Yeah, we're just finishing The Midnight Gang. They did a televised thing. Did you see it?
I watched it, yeah.
Is it good? Because I've been saving it.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, it's silly, but it's good. Yeah. It's very nice to watch at Christmas, that kind of, you know, it's comforting.
Anyway, apparently the audiobooks are a good way to get them into Harry Potter.
Oh, really?
Because they are quite long. Lou, what about you? How was your weekend?
Really nice. Slightly less exciting than last weekend, which was my birthday, and we went away to Time for the weekend, which was so lovely. Oh, yes. You're going in a few weeks.
I am, I know, yeah. I know. I've actually been before, but I went just after it had first opened.
Yeah.
And there wasn't the spa that there is now. I think it's really come on a lot since then.
No, it's
amazing. I loved it then, but
they've got a gorgeous spa and they've just opened a new restaurant, which is amazing. I just love going away to like a country hotel, especially I think in winter, because it just feels like such a nice treat. Yeah. And we were staying in this amazing room called Pinewood, and there was a projector screen which came out in front of your bed, so literally covered the whole wall, and we watched Pretty Woman. It was so good.
My friend watched Pretty Woman.
Absolutely.
Like, it's my birthday.
That's such an old film, but I haven't watched it recently, and we were just both completely
You should go for
him with
the car tonight.
I love that film.
She's amazing. She's just so beautiful, and she's got such an incredible energy in it, and I just completely fell in love with it again.
Yeah,
it was so good. So yeah, I had such a lovely weekend then, and then this one my mum came out, so it's nice and chilled. Oh. But it's just absolutely freezing now.
Mm. Talking of country hotels, I went on Friday. We had a slight oversight in the office, shall we say. We thought we were going to a press lunch in South Northamptonshire. Turned out that we got the date wrong and we turned up a month early. So we arrived. Astrid and Rich were in Rich's car because they both live in North London, and I was in mine. They were about 15 minutes ahead of me, and they called and they were like, there's no one here. It's quite shut up. Anyway, I arrived not that happy, having spent nearly 2 hours in the car. And yeah, we were a month early for this press lunch, but we did manage to persuade
the guy that runs it, his mother, to let us have a look. And she took us around the ground floor. And then she said, well, if you just want to have a look around upstairs. And I'm like, oh, do you come up? She was like, no, I'll leave you to it. Anyway, it's because there are 15 bedrooms.
Wow.
I think she was like, no, I didn't need to get around those again. But it is the most stunning house. It made me want to kind of redo my house. It's beautifully done. Very country chic, you know, real sort of country style. Lots of panelling, lots of nice sort of pale sagey greens and marble, and just
amazing.
They very cleverly combined antique furniture with a kind of newer look.
Yeah.
And you know, this massive kitchen, this enormous wood panel dining room. It's got a bar, a games room, a cinema room, a drawing room, and then 15 bedrooms.
Wow,
that are all ensuite and beautiful. And I mean, God, I was like, 40th tick, and start saving. But God, if you're looking for a wedding venue, it is just
a place to go.
It is a real art, isn't it? Keeping something in keeping with its sort of original features and it having that sort of cozy traditional feel, but then also feeling modern. And, you know, it's that kind of that eclectic mix. I think it's a really hard balance to strike. But when people get it right, it's just, they nail it.
Yeah.
And they've been clever. So in the kitchen, they've got an amazing marble worktop with sort of really dark marble sort of thread running through. But then they've got, you know, shaker units and a freestanding island, which is clever because it looks more rustic, and then sort of long benches. And anyway, it's literally the dream.
Amazing.
So if you want it as a venue, would they then provide staff and chef and things for you? Amazing.
Very cool.
Yeah, really.
Very cool. Georgina, how was your weekend?
Oh, my weekend was cold because I spent most of it on the side of a hockey pitch.
Oh, no.
My kids. With one or the other. In fact, my daughter, who is quite petite, has started goalkeeping. So she was in.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Hilarious. That was pretty much my whole
weekend.
Do
you wear a grill
helmet? They look like American football.
Yes, exactly.
It is very funny because they just can't move.
Yeah. Cold being the goalkeeper as well.
Yeah. That's so weird. I had a dream last night that I was going to hockey and I didn't have a gum shield or shin pads. So hockey is on the brain.
You're not allowed to play if you didn't have a gum shield or shin pads.
No, I think, how am I going to get my gum shield fitted in time for on this bus journey?
Yes. Do you know what my dream was last night?
What?
Oh my God, I can't believe it's taking me this long to tell you. Dream chat is so boring.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you my dream, Lou, which was that you, Charlotte and I were on Strictly.
Oh my God, you've been here for at least 2 hours. How have you not shared that information?
It was really sad though because Bow Babe wasn't on Strictly. Team Bow Babe for Strictly. And I was really worried that I wasn't going to be able to keep up with it. Young ones.
God, I hope that's premonition.
I know, I've forgotten most of it.
And BBC, if you're listening.
I know.
We'd like to call
up. Talking about Strictly. Joe Sark, tell you what.
Have you been watching The Greatest Dancer?
Yes, I have.
Oh my God, it's just so amazing. Yeah, it's on about week three.
People seem quite into it, actually.
We are obsessed in our house. Even my son, he loves breakdancing and street dancing. And there's so much commercial and contemporary, as well as a bit of ballroom. Have you seen it?
I've not seen it, but I know a lot of people that I wouldn't have thought.
Oh my God, I'm watching that tonight.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. She's amazing.
Oh, I love
her. Energy.
Oh, I love her. I'd forgotten
about
her.
Yeah, I love her.
And Matthew Morrison. Oh, there are dance captains rather than judges, so they audition. And then they have this front of their stage is glass, like they're in a dance studio. And everyone has a button in the audience to press, and if they get over 75%, suddenly this glass door opens, the whole theatre and auditorium is in front of them, and the judges are on their feet going crazy, and the whole place is going crazy, and you've got to start with episode one.
I'm going to do that tonight.
The last dance of episode one, I think we watched three times. We were in tears.
I was literally hysterical. Like, my boyfriend was like, what is wrong with you? I couldn't handle it. It was just too much.
It's just too much. And then there was another one in a similar vein the following week, which has escaped me. And then last night, or Saturday night, but we watched it last night, there was this little girl dancing, and her father has a condition where his eyes are deteriorating soon he won't be able to see her dance anymore. And you're just hoping they're going to be good and they're not going to get the sympathy vote.
Yeah.
And she comes out and she's just like...
amazing.
Insane. It's like she's got electricity flying in her body. It was so incredible.
It's such so a good, like, feel good.
Such a good mood.
You need it in January. You need something like this.
Yeah.
It's very uplifting.
I was thinking we were going to do Dancing on Ice, but actually...
No.
Okay. That's fine. Well, so you brought us very nicely onto TV, Georgina.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else that people have been watching? I've nearly finished Sinner 2. I'm enjoying
that.
Oh,
my
It's good, isn't
God.
It?
I think cult. I preferred the first one.
I did too.
Yeah,
same. But equally,
it's good,
just,
isn't it?
Yeah, very good. And it's the kind of thing you just get so addicted to. Yeah. You just
I've got
can't
two deaths.
Stop.
Don't tell me what happens.
No, I won't tell you.
It's really good.
It's really good.
Any other recommendations for people when it comes to TV?
I'm watching You at the moment, and partly because it's Penn Badgley, and I just love him. So that's the main reason.
I say that watching up. Charlotte was talking about that. Anyway, are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I think it's a bit silly, but it's addictive, and it's the kind of thing I can't stop watching, even if I wanted to. So yeah, okay. That's
anything,
where I'm.
Anything else for anyone?
I'm obsessed with Les Mis. I
think it's so fantastic.
Oh,
I don't think it's as good as you've made out for it to be.
I just love it.
I think it's great. Olivia Colman in it is I just want it to be all her. She's just so good. Number four last night?
Yeah, because that's much older now, so they fast forwarded a couple of years.
And who's playing her?
No one I recognise, but she's absolutely beautiful.
Is she?
Yeah. And also I watched on Saturday night a film called The Children Act with Emma Thompson and Stanley Tucci. I came away from it. You know when a film, it has quite a sad ending and you think, what was the point of that film? But it was so poignant. And Emma Thompson basically plays a high court judge, and in her personal life, her marriage is falling apart because she's just obsessed with her job. Anyway, she takes on this case about a boy who is a Jehovah's Witness, and he's also got leukemia, and he's refusing to have a blood transplant. But he's under 18, so he can't decide. So basically, she has to rule whether to do it or not. And it's this fascinating journey that she goes through with him and about the situation. And it's really good, very tear-jerky, but yeah, and really interesting watch. And she is just amazing. And Stanley Tucci, I'm obsessed with.
Which channel's that on?
It was on Amazon Prime, I think.
I read the book.
Yeah.
It's a really good book.
Yeah.
And I've been meaning to see the film, so yeah. I'm glad that's on. I'll look out for that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Anything else to add, TV-wise?
Well, I've caught up with an adaptation of the Elena Ferrante novels, My Brilliant Friend. I did it in book club and I just really struggled with the book. I found it very long and I couldn't quite get into it as much as I wanted to. Anyway, they've had loads of coverage and she's kind of Zadie Smith equivalent in Italy. And I started watching it, the adaptation, and it is absolutely brilliant. It's all in Italian, obviously. It's these two young girls playing the main parts. And it captures so much of what it must be like to live in that kind of slum life in Naples and being a girl post-war and just how women were treated. It's just brilliant and I would really, really recommend it.
What's it called?
My Brilliant Friend.
It's a three-parter.
Well, no, so the books are a trilogy,
okay.
But this is the first one.
Okay.
And it's about a friendship between two girls and how it develops as their life goes on. And there's sort of a backdrop to do with the mafia. But it's not a mafia story.
I love a bit of Naples mafia.
Yeah, it touches on that, but it's really much more about friendship and resilience.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it does sound really good.
Mm.
Let's talk about exhibitions. I'm not very good at going to exhibitions. We did put together a roundup, though, of the essential ones to visit in London in 2019. I looked through the list and thought, oh, there are some quite good ones. I mean, for me, it tends to be the fashion ones that appeal.
Yeah.
So Christian Dior, I haven't got tickets. I'm really hoping they're available. I meant to last year, but I didn't. Anyway, that's on from February to July. And if you saw Alexander McQueen's Savage Beauty at the V&A in 2015, then it's that kind of thing, I believe. So that's definitely one to get tickets to. And there's another one on here. Oh, the Stanley Kubrick, actually. Mary Quant at the V&A.
Yeah.
There are some good things. I don't know, I sort of feel New Year, if you're going to set a resolution, it's a bit late now, you know, going towards the end of January, but if you're going to do more of something, it's got to be stuff like this, right?
Yeah.
I get kind of the guilt that I don't do enough cultural stuff.
I think when you're living in London as well, you feel guilty and you become a bit lazy, I think. You sort of have these intentions to go and then suddenly you realise there was one at the Hayward Gallery in South Bank, Shapeshifters, which was apparently amazing. And everyone was going, yeah. And I thought, great, I'm going to book it. It ended the day before. And I just really kicked myself.
You have to make the time to go through these lists and plan. And it's like going to the theatre. You have to plan it in advance.
Yeah.
You see, like, oh, do I spend that money now?
But actually, and then when you're there and afterwards, you're like, oh, God, that was so good. That's
I must do that more often.
And then you
And you leave feeling so inspired. I mean, I'm the same. I haven't been to one in a long time. But I think it's important for kind of, I mean, even just thinking about features and stuff, it helps you kind of get out there and know what's going on.
But I'm going to iron today. I'm going to book. Oh, I hope there are tickets left. I must say that I am going to Hamilton on Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's exciting.
I've waited a long time for this.
Wow. Do you know they released 30,000 new tickets last week? And they sold it really quickly, I think.
Yeah.
God.
And apparently I've got to do a bit of reading before someone says. Did you?
No. I went into it knowing absolutely nothing and was completely transfixed.
It's easy to follow the story.
Yes.
Yeah, although a friend went recently and said that they found it quite difficult to follow, but I don't know.
Yeah, my sister always like, make sure you read up first, make sure you read up first.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely loved it, but I don't know. Yeah. Have you seen it, Becky?
No, I haven't seen it, sadly.
Well, I'll let you know.
I would love to go to the Mary Quant one, I have to say.
Would
out of
you?
All of them, yeah. I'd really love to go, because it's meant to be loads of unseen sort of designs and things, isn't it? And it includes beauty. I just think that would be amazing.
Yeah,
to see all the sort of uncovered things that never came out. That would definitely be inspirational.
I think the best exhibition I've ever been to was the Jackie Onassis exhibition. I think it was when I lived in Paris, and it was on Summer in Paris. I can't remember where now, and it was kind of all her old wardrobe. I mean, I just think she's so amazing.
Yeah.
And it had all the pictures of her, and it was have all the little like pillar box hats and then the full outfit, and when it's closed I love it.
Mine was a Corinne Day Kate Moss one, and I was just completely transfixed with those images. So amazing. Another one on here that looks really good is the Martin Parr Only Human. I've seen a few of his before, and he just captures that sort of really, it's kind of daily observations of people about their lives.
He's very sort of invasive with his photography, but in like an intriguing way. It'd be like photographing someone on the train doing something.
Have you heard of him, Georgina?
I haven't heard of him, no, but actually...
That makes you feel better. You
too. A little bit cutting edge, isn't it? But what I do actually love is going to see some really good old masters. So the Van Gogh that's on here, I mean, they're just so overproduced on posters and postcards. But when you actually stand in front of one and you see that kind of layering of oil and the palette knives come out and they've kind of built up this picture, and it's such an iconic picture and you know it so well, it's almost like you don't see it.
Yeah.
And then when you actually go and see it, especially somewhere like Tate Britain, which is such a fantastic building anyway, I think you can't really beat that. Actually, I was quite fascinated by the Renaissance nudes as well, because our idea of what we think a woman should look like naked now is so different to what they said.
So true.
And I would actually quite like to take my daughter and
say, look at her peachy bottom.
It was like celebrated.
Good
life.
Good for them.
Yeah. Well, I feel really inspired to do more exhibitions. I'm going to make a real effort to do that. Let's talk about travel and how to travel the world if you're terrified of flying. I think there are probably very few people who don't travel because they're feared of flying. Most people take...
My mum, actually, is petrified of flying. Because when I read that piece, I thought it was so brilliant. I mean, she would fly if she absolutely had to, but she would also take any other route if there was one. So I actually sent her the link for that.
Did you?
Yeah, because, I mean, that is perfect for her.
Your mum needs to meet my godmother, who's never been on an aeroplane.
Wow.
Seriously? Yeah,
never. And, you know, she's an amazing woman, and she's really cool in a very sort of old school glamorous way.
Is there a reason why they both have a fear of flying? Like, were they involved in some kind of incident, or is it just...
I think she's always been scared of flying, but I would say it's got worse with age. I think she's got a lot worse now. I mean, she used to do it, but now if they can drive somewhere or if they can get on a boat and then my dad has to drive the other end, that will be it. That is what they do. But I think it is quite rare to have that.
Before I had children, my fear of flying got quite out of control, actually.
Oh, really?
And I always took... Is it a diazepam? What do you take?
I think it's
only
diazepam
people take.
Vodka.
I remember taking 2 diazepam and drinking quite a lot, and the air hostess came around, she's like, how are you? I was like, I'm fine, fine.
It's like that scene in
and they were like, I don't have any more. But I think having had children, I've said this before, when I'm with them, they distract me. When I'm on my own, when we flew back from New York, I hate flying back from the States, it's always bad.
Yeah.
I got into a bit of a state, and I don't sleep a wink ever.
Mm.
Anyway, there's proof here that you can do it. Cruise ship, train. Obviously, everyone can get to France thanks to the Eurostar. By car?
We go skiing and we drive to Switzerland, and we do it in about 10 hours. And it is really quite fun, the idea of like you pack the car up and it's a road trip, and we put on loads of audio books and we chat a lot. And obviously, the kids just stick their headphones on for some of it as well. But there's a lot of freedom actually with it. You sort of feel like you're restricted, but I actually think it feels the opposite. Once you just accept I'm on this 10-hour drive, you're sort of free with that. Whereas if you're going on a 2-hour drive and you get an hour delay, it's like, oh God, this feels like a nightmare. It's so annoying. But when you're committed to such a long experience, somehow it's just irrelevant. Yeah. And actually, we love it.
Is it 10 hours and do you stop overnight?
No, we leave about 6:30 and we get there for dinner.
Do you?
Yeah.
And you stop off at places on the way and go for dinner, lunch?
Well, we stop to fill up the car and every time that's a quick break. And then we both drive. So we're sort of, I mean, I think if you're doing it on your own, you probably need to stop more.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we just keep alternating the driving and we just want to get there. Get it done.
We often talk about whether we would do that. You've got two children, I've got three, and they all would have to sit on one row of seats. And just the fighting. Although someone said to me once, the first hour of any car journey with children is the worst, and that they settle into it. And actually, we've had two summers where we've driven to Bordeaux and back, and that's a long way.
Yeah. Oh, well, if you can do that, you can definitely drive.
But we did it 2 years in a row, and then the following year, we were like, no, we've done that now. But actually, for skiing, it does make sense, because so often you also get to an airport, and then you've got a three-hour transfer.
Yeah.
In a coach. I mean,
Also delays and all the other things. I think the other thing is if you're locked into school holidays, going skiing, say, at February half term is just so incredibly expensive. And this is the way around that. Yeah. And also, we then self-cater. And the great thing, if you're in your car, is you can chuck in pasta, pesto, cereal, soup, loo roll, soap, everything. And then you don't need to go shopping. When you get there, you've just got it all.
Yeah.
So it works for that. But
I think you've converted me, Georgina. My husband and I always disagree on this one. Maybe you've converted me. Yes, Australia's a bit far.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was a good feature. I'm glad you sent it to your mum.
Yeah. You'll love it.
Overnight sleeper, and you're away.
I went interrailing when I was 19 for a month around Italy, and that was amazing. Just like hopping on the train, going off to one stop, like have a few days there, go somewhere else. And here it says you can get an overnight sleeper to Italy, and the sleeper trains are also really fine. I've got a friend who lives in Penzance, and when we think about all going down, you're like, oh, it's such a long car journey, especially from London. But if you get the sleeper train, then you know you're there in the morning.
Yeah. Although they were talking about the sleeper, I think last week on the podcast, Astra was saying she'd done it to Scotland. She's got family in Scotland. She's like, it feels like a good idea. It's actually not that great. To me, a sleeper train, I mean, no thanks. But I never went interrailing, and it's something I wish I'd done.
Too
much of Europe I haven't seen.
It was so much fun, and I'm glad I did it then, because I think Italy has got so much more expensive now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember I had my big backpack, and I put like my clothes types in different bags. So like, Zane's bag had like my dresses in, Tessa's bag, my top's inside new, and
ooh,
I could like
smart.
I could find which bag was which. But yeah, it was so much fun.
Did you? I love it.
Yeah.
Some give you that tip, didn't they? They were like, break up your clothes types.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in the manual.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Let's talk about wallpaper. Apparently, wallpapers like Marmite, you tend to be in one camp or the other, with those against it often put off by the cost and the commitment. Yeah, you don't really want to do it yourself, do you? Bodged wallpaper does not look great. But I personally love a bit of wallpaper.
Well, we're sitting in a room with some pretty cool wallpaper.
A distance. We have had a few interior designers in here. Nina Campbell, one of them. And I was don't look too closely, because we bought this in a real hurry. And it's actually got a bit of texture on it that's horrible. On camera, it looks cool. But actually, in person, it's not so cool. Anyway, we're redoing the office soon. That's right. It will be going. But
how does everyone feel about wallpaper?
I'm not a big fan of wallpaper, I have to say. But I did like the tip about doing an accent of wallpaper in your home. So just over the fireplace or just one wall. I think that's nice. But I think wall to wall is a little bit intense. But that's just me.
I think it's an age thing. I personally do not like an accent wall. But I think it's quite grown up country. Do you know what I mean? But there are some interior designers designers who just, I look at their fees and I'm like, wow, I want that wallpaper.
You've got to be really bold. I think you can't be afraid of it. You've just got to go all out.
That is so true.
What about you, Becky?
I also think there's something quite nice about choosing paint. I think there's something quite joyful in choosing nice paint. But I mean, maybe one day
it's definitely more low maintenance, that's for sure.
Yeah,
do it yourself. As I said, I wouldn't wallpaper stuff. Georgina, you're nodding. Are you a wallpaper fan?
Yeah, I don't have any in my house. It makes me frustrated. I would love to put some up, and I did at one point think about doing the hallway, and then now when I see the kids kind of going up the stairs dragging something, throwing things. The thing with wallpapers, if you get a little rip or a tear, I know now it's much more hardy what it's made of, but
still it's quite heartbreaking.
Whole section again, whereas with paint you can just rub it all, paint over.
Yeah.
But I've always thought to myself, when my kids don't live with me anymore, I will have wallpaper
when I'm
in my hallway.
Growing up, it's something so cozy about. I've got a friend who's got it in a hallway, like really colourful and busy. She's got amazing life interiors, and it's just so grown up when you walk into a hall. But she has got little children, so we'll see how well it stands the test of time. Lou, you're a fan?
I love it in like a downstairs bathroom. One of my friends has got House of Holland in her downstairs loo, and it looks so cool. And I think you've kind of got to get quite funky with it.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure I'd have it in like my house, but I can really appreciate it in others. And again, when we were at Time in our room, they had kind of green leaves. It was really quirky. And then they had this big green velvet headboard, or like teal. And I think it really works in certain spaces. So yeah, definitely.
When we had Nina Campbell in, Laura and I were chatting and agreeing that it's fabric on the walls. That's when you've really made it a knife.
Simple.
Yeah. Oh, she does some amazing. There are lots of points in here, lots of things to think about. She likes the idea of a feature wall, as do you, Becky. Not such a fan. I love the look of wallpaper on a ceiling.
Really cool.
And she made the point, which I thought was a really good one, that the ceiling remains one of the most ignored surfaces of modern day decor. You look at the old days with those, you know,
so
intricate ceilings that you found in big homes, and we just sort of paint them white. I mean, someone said to me once, always paint your ceiling the same colour as your walls.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make a room look smaller. It actually makes it look bigger because you're not so aware of this thing above your head.
Yeah, there's no boundaries.
Yeah, I think that's a good tip. But actually, yeah, we were looking at some pictures on Pinterest of people who'd wallpapered their ceilings.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I remember when I was younger and we were redoing my bedroom, and my mum said to me, "No, what do you want for your bedroom?" And I was like, "I want it pink." And I remember us going off to Laura Ashley and picking my own wallpaper from there. And
Was it floral?
No, it was almost like a bit of a polka dot, like in a fine line. And then I got a matching duvet and I just loved it so much. And also I think if you are a little bit afraid of maybe going full on with the wallpaper, you can get some really jazzy lampshades now, which almost kind of can take on that texture. So I think that's maybe a good way to have a play beforehand.
Agreed. There were lots of tips here. One of them was about hanging them in bathrooms, saying it can be problematic if they aren't well ventilated. That is something to think about. I have wallpaper in a bathroom, which has a shower in it, and we put a seal on top, and 5 years and it's in perfect condition, so I think you definitely can.
On
the subject of our houses, some of us are more guilty than others of building up clutter. I am not one of them, I hasten to add. Quite the opposite. My husband's like, blink and what you put down is gone. Blink and your glass is in the dishwasher. Your Christmas presents have been put away so you don't even know what they were. I never use them, but I'm a bit of a clutter phobe. We spoke to Kate Ibbotson. She's a declutter expert and a professional organiser. There's a job for you.
I should get that.
And she gave so many tips. I mean, this is the longest piece. If you want a kind of list of all the ways you need to tidy your house and declutter it, then this is the one. I thought it was really good, actually.
Yeah, it was really good.
Becky.
I'm like you, I hate clutter. I really hate it. And I think I was thinking about this because we spoke about it on the show as well. And I am a bit of a neat freak. And also, I think it's something now to do with well-being. Well-being's such a big thing now. So more than ever, it's just a case of getting things out of the way and feeling calmer. It's like a state.
I can't relax until it's
that I cannot
way.
Relax, yeah. No. And also, especially in my room, like it has to be clean for me to feel, because when you go home you want to relax, you want to unwind, you don't want to be like everything's all over the place.
Totally agree.
I loved it again. Really nice tips. And I also like the bit about the garage, because I think everyone cleans their garage and then shoves everything in it. But
actually, what you were saying on being calm, we had some friends staying with us for a couple of years ago where they were having their house done, and it was like living in a commune. We loved it. It was great. We might carry on like this. And I would get home from work and tidy, plump the pillows. And my friend turned around to our nanny and she was like, does she always do this? Does she always come home from work and re-tidy a tidy house? And I'd be like, yes, because then I can have gin and tonic and I can relax.
Yeah.
But going back to the garage being a mess, I sort of think you need one room. Like, we've got our utility in the cellar, and it's got all the crap. The scooters, the golf gear, wine, the washing baskets, the tools. I feel like you need one room where it's okay to have stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Otherwise,
yeah.
I'd have nothing.
Yeah. My house is, I would say, pretty clutter-free, especially when the kids are at school. So, obviously, there are pockets and corners, and there are definitely some, like, rooms where things are shoved away. And then my friend came round one day and I would say her house is quite cluttered. And so she came into my house and she wanted to borrow a hamper, a picnic hamper or something. So I said, oh yeah, it's down in the cellar. And I went down and she followed me and she was like, oh, I'm so pleased to see that you've got all your crap. Because she was like, I mean, where do they put it, these people? There's never anything out. Where can it all be? And I was like, oh, it's all down here. And then we shut the door and we just pretended that room doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everyone needs a dumping ground.
Yeah. Like Monica's cupboard in Friends.
Yeah, exactly. I still know where it all is.
Yeah.
But pots of paint and my husband was like, do we need all these pots of paint? Yeah.
We always have that conversation.
Oh, look, he's like, please throw away some of that paint. And I'm like, no. He's like, you can't need it all. And I was like, you name it, if anything in this house got scratched or marked, then we would have the paint. And actually the other day Coco had a mark, or we spitted some shelves and something needed touching up. I was like, see, I've got the paint. Anyway, I'm glad to hear I'm not the only one. Lou, I imagine you're quite organised, quite tidy.
Just reading through this though, it talks about bedside tables being full of odds and ends, and we have got that at the moment. Like, literally, I've got like old phones and chargers from like, I don't know, 2007, and we've just ordered some new bedside tables which only has one drawer, which means three are going to have to be destroyed, so I'm going to have to sort those out. But I really enjoy a good clear out.
It's good for the soul.
You know, on a good Sunday, going through my drawers, throwing stuff away. Another one is beauty. And it was saying here that most makeup only lasts 6 months and toiletries a year. But I always just keep them.
I know.
And at my mum's house in Bristol, I had every Vogue, I think, from 2003. And I've got one of those huge bookcases of it. Like, you know, every time I come back, she's like, we're throwing these away soon. This is my archive. So I'll leave the clutter with her.
Yeah, love it. Well, I really believe in a good clear out every sort of 6 months. In fact, I did it on Boxing Day this year. I get quite stressed at Christmas because I'm like, where the are we going to get new toys? We live in London. And I'm like, one in, one out. So if they get a toy, something else has got to go. And on Boxing Day, we came back from lunch and they were just in the sitting room. Just everyone had a massive pile of things. In the kitchen, more piles of things. And I mean, the number of presents. So I went on this. My husband was building Lego with the children and I just went on it. He came down. He was like, holy shit, you only did one of these a few months ago. And once I start, I was in the cupboard throwing out herbs. I was like, those herbs. I mean, I got a real thing about sell-by dates as well.
Yeah. Yes.
And A, it's been amazing. And B, it's the only way to not have clutter, I think, is just to be ruthless and also just to do it really regularly, not just when you move house.
Yeah. The feeling of going to the tip is just the best feeling.
So good.
Yeah. I just love it.
It's just out of your hands then, isn't it?
And you feel like I've really accomplished something tangible. I'm going to walk back in now. And when I open that cupboard, it's just going to look amazing for maybe 2 months.
Yeah.
But it will. I actually think there's quite a few quick wins on this as well. So things like, if I'm waiting for the pasta to cook, I'll then think, oh, I'm just going to do a quick sweep of the larder, clear that out. And I'll do kind of quick things like that. Like when the kids are in the bath, I'll sort of see they've got a bathroom cabinet shelf full of kids' medicine and weird samples of nail varnish or something. And I'll kind of go in and do that. And I think little things like that, it doesn't have to be, right, this whole Sunday, I'm now going to spend 8 hours decluttering.
But I do love it.
Yeah, I would do that. I love that.
But with the children, though, you've got to do it when they're not there. Because my children, they come and they're like, what have you thrown away? And my husband does it as well. He comes back. If he takes them to his parents so I can have a clear, and he's like, what have you thrown away? Starts going through them. I'm like, no, get out of the bins. You're not a tramp. I promise I haven't thrown in. Like, how much have I got left? Anyway, I'm all for it. Everything's got to have a place, I think. I have got a man drawer in the kitchen, though, which doesn't have sort of compartments and just has chargers and matches and keys, and that just, I open that every time I open it, I feel a bit stressed.
But
that's, you see, that can be boil the pasta, that's a 10-minute job.
Georgina, I clear it up once a week at least.
Oh, okay, good.
Leeds.
My heart was racing for
a minute. Oh, no, 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 no. Anyway, tidy house, tidy house.
Yeah. Hopefully there'll be a time when wires and cables don't exist anymore.
Wouldn't it be nice? Chargers everywhere. Anyway, that list is so extensive. She likes things into categories. She talks to me, this woman. Not very well. On the subject of tidiness, decluttering, vinegar. This was a piece on the 12 unexpected uses of vinegar. I love things like this.
Yeah.
I was saying on the show that they're quite good for cleaning rings. I seem to remember.
Yeah, that was on there.
And I thought that was gin, but I'm going with vinegar now.
Don't waste the gin.
People
say toothpaste as well, don't they? Mm. I actually just think fairy liquid.
Fairy liquid
and silver cleaner and an old toothbrush. Descaling your kettle, cleaning your washing machine. I have these things in my washing machine keep coming out with sort of grey marks on them.
Oh, I had that before.
How do you get rid of it?
Well, I got a new seal on the washing machine. So it can
the
be...
The bit around there, it's the rubber, isn't it?
Yeah, so you can get a kind of bicarbonate of soda solution and then use that maybe with a sort of light brush because you don't want to break it down. The rubber.
Right.
So you can use that, but it can be like a kind of mildew build-up.
I think that's exactly what it is.
So we'd get, I'd pull the sheets out and get like a big smear.
Yes.
And you think,
That's exactly it. And it's only 3 years old.
Yeah. So it might be that.
So change the seal. Mm. Can you do that yourself?
No. But you could try the bicarb first if you can see where it is.
Sounds like a kind of hassle to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, vinegar. Who'd have thought it?
Yeah. I like the idea of your computer, actually, that you can just use it, because I always think, what can I put on my keyboard to clean it?
It is very pungent, though. Like, it's not like when you use antibacterial, it smells clean. Vinegar doesn't smell fresh, does it?
What's wrong with a wet wipe? I mean, they clean everything, don't they?
I use wet wipes for everything.
Me too. Everything.
Yeah.
Talking about your keyboard, though, have you tipped it upside down and given it a good shake?
Yes.
Whoa.
Oh, my God, it's disgusting. It's
disgusting. We've got that, like, aerosol can, which you spray in it, and you're, like, literally a whole meal just falls.
Oh, God. On the subject of homes, buying a new one is expensive enough when you've saved enough to buy it. So kitting it out is pretty painful, isn't it? We wrote a piece on 5 tips to save you money on new home essentials. I thought this was really good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this.
I mean, they were quite sort of sensible. I was like, oh, yeah, so right.
Especially the negotiation one, which I know sounds really basic, but I am so bad at negotiating anything. But it is true that if you're buying things in bulk, you should be able to kind of make some sort of deal. And it is important because, I mean, my boyfriend and I are saving at the moment and it's hard. It's really hard. So when it comes to this, I will definitely be using this as a tear sheet.
Yeah.
And I will definitely be negotiating.
Also, big ticket items like a sofa. We bought our sofa from somewhere that you wouldn't think that they would discount. And I was like, can you do 10% off? I'll order it. And they said yes. I was like, damn, I should.
And all you can do is ask and they'll say no.
But actually, but like, I would do it John Lewis.
No. But they're never going to see you again. And like...
I mean, it totally worked for me.
Yeah, if it's off a sofa, it can save you a lot of money.
Yeah.
Or if it's something where you can say, you know, if we pay cash, can we have this or anything else? Can you throw in the cushions or whatever like that?
They'll just cut out the delivery fee or something.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. My brother is like the king of negotiation. Like anything, he will just try and get some form of deal out of it. Otherwise, it's like it's no good to him. So, yeah, he's very good at it.
I think it's a good way to be, clearly.
Yeah, it is.
I think you're right. You have to know when it's acceptable to do it and when not.
Yeah, know your boundaries, yeah.
Georgina?
Yeah, I definitely think you should negotiate. And I kind of always have to a point, actually. I mean, like you say, I wouldn't go to John Lewis and argue with him, you know,
I'll give you a 20. I'll take you for 20.
But I think I quite like also to go to smaller privately owned shops, not big businesses, and I think then you do normally get a bit more for your money. I think it's just being a bit creative in how you approach things.
Yeah,
I also think, and this sort of piece comes on the back of how do you sort of furnish your house when you've just bought it and you don't have any money left. I also think it's amazing what you can do with an old piece of furniture. I remember being given a pine chest of drawers by a family member. I was like, but actually, I sanded it and I painted it. I changed the knobs. And it looked great. People always used to comment on it. And it's amazing what you can do. You can strip things of paint. You can repaint them. I think just being a bit creative.
And I think also when you've just bought your first house and you don't want to then buy like rubbish things that are going to last you a couple of months or a year and you're going to throw it out and buy it again. So when you are spending money on things, you want to buy the things that are going to last. So I think where you can, you know, borrow something from someone or get something from a tip, whatever, as it's sort of a temporary in between rather than, you know, heading straight to IKEA, then I think that's useful.
Yeah. And for curtains and things, isn't it? The curtain workshop around in London where there people take the curtains that they don't want or can't use anymore. Curtain exchange. So even things like that, you can pick up temporary measures that you don't don't have to live with forever. I remember we actually had a really horrible bed curtains that were kind of red and but we needed something and that was
Geez, next door.
Yeah. Someone talked about that yesterday, actually.
It's really good. It's like a social network for communities. And you sign up, you put in your address and where you live, and you're connected to people in your area, and you can ask to be connected, only get posts, or only to view posts within kind of a mile radius of your house or 5 miles. And you can find, you know, a babysitter on there, a dog walker, I need a plumber, blah, 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 blah. But equally, there are buy and sell pages as well.
Oh, interesting.
Super handy. Quite often. I've sold stuff on there, sold a wardrobe on there, literally went so quickly, they came and got it, it was really easy. So that's quite a good way.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a good feature. One of the things I think is the most important when you move into a house, I've been married to my husband for too long, is making sure it's safe. I mean, I am a real warrior about that sort of thing. And I've said before that when we lived in a flat, I used to sleep with a knife by my bed when he wasn't there. It sounds a bit drastic, doesn't it?
Did you?
Yeah, this is like 10 years ago now, but yeah, I did. And it was just me when we lived in Fulham. And I'm quite a wimp about that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm not great. But we have panic buttons linked to our alarm. And whenever they come and test the alarm every 6 months to check it, and I always say, the panic buttons are working, aren't they? Because I can't test that. Whereas obviously you set your alarm when you leave the house and you hear it beeping. Yeah. But you can't test those.
Yeah. No, well, we're the same. I've got a panic button. We have window locks.
Yeah.
Some of them painted shut. Sensor lights. I mean, not that I live in a stately home or anything. But, you know, just at the front of the house and in the garden, a light goes on if, I don't know, I think it's so important.
Yeah.
I think when you're in a flat, it's different, but when you're in a house, I've grown up since I've had children, but when we first moved into a house, and I remember being on my own, I think I went round to my mum's at first.
Yeah.
I remember my husband went away for a couple of nights, and I had to go and stay at her house. I was like, it's just going to be me in a little house, the burglars will come and get me.
Yeah.
I remember in our old flat, we were in a really busy junction, you heard like banging and crashing like all the time, and it kind of got to a stage where you're just desensitised to it. And then when we moved into our current flat, it's so much more quiet. And I remember we heard this like really big bang in the night, and just kind of woke up but thought nothing of it. And then the next day went down, and the door had been, they'd been trying to pick at the lock. So yeah, that was scary.
So scary, isn't it?
I remember thinking when I first moved into a house, how do people do it? Like, how do they stay in a house on their own? I think you do get better with it. But even now, my husband's just been away this weekend on a work trip. I have to be so tired to go to sleep when he's not there, and I will lie there really rigid listening. I can be with earplugs, so I have to listen really hard to hear anything. I'm like really trying to listen for any noise. I'm definitely getting better with age, but I like to know that I've got all these security measures in place.
Yeah. I go around the house quite a few times. If I'm home alone overnight, I'll definitely check doors,
double check. You've double
a couple of times.
Yeah,
especially like letting the dog out last thing at night and then checking that door.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I get a bit paranoid, but we
check in and put the alarm on. Do you put your alarm on at night?
Yes, just downstairs.
Yep, so do we.
And the kids know how to turn it off and stuff, so they're fine. But we had an incident actually just before Christmas. I think there's something in here about putting your keys out of sight. So we came down one morning 2 days before Christmas and our car was gone that had been stolen. And there's definitely a lot of these happening in our area at the moment. And so now we have a copper lined pouch, and the keys go away in a drawer because they didn't take the keys, but they interacted the signal of opening the car with the keys, so they can clone it.
God, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, so that was a real lesson, and I knew about that. Don't leave
the
keys out.
My husband was talking about these copper pouches. I was like, don't be ridiculous. He's now going to go see.
Yeah, well, they're just in Halfords, and they're really easy to get. And you just in the man drawer. Yeah, that's where the keys go out of sight.
You're giving me lots of food for thought today, Georgina. Maybe I need to go and get myself a copper lined pouch. Becky, you live in Brighton.
Yes, live in Brighton near the station, so actually it is quite rife, especially near Christmas. Up my road there has been a guy that's been broken into 4 times.
Oh.
So now, I mean, he's a lot stricter on the rules, but I think being by the station, you're in such a dodgy area because so many people just get off and they're like loitering, and we have a lot of builders down our road, and it's just people would do it in broad daylight because they would disguise themselves as builders. So you have to be so careful now. even taking these precautions, you just have to be wary of people sort of just being like, oh, I'm here to fix your boiler or whatever, you know.
People are really brazen. So around Aro's before Christmas, one of my neighbours has got some CCTV and there's footage of the Amazon parcel being put in the safe place behind the bin or wherever it was. And then immediately, like 2 or 3 minutes after the delivery van's gone, someone in a high-vis jacket goes and takes the parcel and goes off with it.
Oh, God.
And they're deliberately in the high-vis jacket looking like...
I'm very important.
Yeah, I'm very important. I've got every right to be here. I belong here. And they kept for about 2 weeks. They were going around the whole area taking all the parcels.
Same. Yeah, I know. You have to be...
That's really bad.
But doing it in a high-vis jacket.
Yeah, wow. But it's so opportunistic as well, isn't it? I also think, like, not having hedges and things outside your house is really... When we lived in the house where we live in now... Our neighbour, it was the only house on the street that had a hedge and she was broken into.
I've often thought it though, that it's not a great thing to have.
If there's a bay window and they can get...
No one can see them. I know.
No, it won't happen to you. No. But it says here that according to research, 74% of burglars enter through the door. Yeah, two-thirds of Brits don't bother to lock their doors.
Which I can believe, actually.
Don't lock their doors?
I reckon there's a lot of people that... I mean,
two-thirds? Yeah. Only one-third hide their valuables.
I think people just get complacent, don't they, so easily.
I remember my mother at school had a bag of stuff stolen from one of the seats in the car. So I would never, ever, ever... And if ever I do the school run and I've got, like, a tote bag with me and a handbag, I still take both of them into school to get the... Like, just never leave.
No.
Especially in London, never leave anything on view. It's the same for your house, I think. Yeah. It's opportunistic, so just don't give them the chance. Anyway. I am a bit security mad. Anyway, there were lots of good tips, and for more information, that came via a study at moneysupermarket.com. Keep your keys safe. Cover your keyholes with tape. Burglars have been placing tape over door locks to see if the house is occupied in a rented space, apparently.
I mean, wow.
Yeah. Replace the locks, have good locks. Oh, it costs more money, though. That's the trouble, isn't it? You just don't prioritise it necessarily. You're like, oh, a new sofa, or do I buy expensive locks?
Yeah.
You'll regret it if your sofa gets nicked, won't you? It did amuse me where it said that computers and jewellery are top of a burglar's to-do list, second and third to money, but the least likely to be taken were wheelie bins and garden furniture. I was like, well, thanks for clearing that one out. I was worried about my wheelie bin. Beauty.
My first piece.
Becky, your first piece. And how good it was. The best new beauty buys for January. There were some great things on here. We've talked about the All Saints fragrances.
Oh my God, they're amazing. Brilliant. I mean, I'm a big fan of high street fragrances. I mean, brands that do fragrances. I love Zara's. I think Zara's got some really nice ones. And All Saints just don't disappoint. They're so smoky and warm and just beautiful. Mm. And they're affordable. I think that's the main thing. You don't have to spend, you know, buckets on fragrance.
They're not a bargain though. I mean, not a bargain. Fragrance got really expensive. They're like £49. We talked about them on the show actually before Christmas, and they are really woody and smoky,
really,
and definitely worth checking out.
You
also talked about the Drunk Elephant retinol cream.
I'll have to get some in for somebody to try.
I actually have one in my office. They sent me one. I haven't tried it.
Oh, why not?
I didn't realise it had sold out within a day launching.
When it launched on Space NK, everyone was going crazy
for it. And again, it's expensive, but it lasts you a really, really long time. And I actually can't wear acids that often because I've tried it and I get huge rashes. I get rashes from some Elemis stuff, even though I love the brand. It just is my skin, but it's the first acid cream that hasn't given me a rash, and because it's got really minimal percentage in. But also, if you don't want to use loads of it, just use a blob in your daily cream. You can just literally use a tiny bit and you'll still notice a difference. So mix and match. You don't have to just use it straight from the tube. It's really, really good.
What else on here?
The Becca lipsticks are gorgeous, really creamy. I love the Merlot one. It's like a rich
Becca
red.
I've never really got on board with Becca, but I feel like I should.
I think now they've had like a complete overhaul. They've had some amazing stuff, and they've also got a skin elixir, which I recommend. It's basically like a watery Vaseline that gives your skin pretty sheen. That's probably the best way to describe it.
An elixir?
It's called an elixir. It's almost like a serum.
Okay, so where do you use it?
You can use it just before foundation, just so then when it mixes in, it looks really radiant. But I think they they've had a big overhaul. It's worth sort of looking into it. And probably one of the best bits is the new Dove aluminium-free deodorants.
Aluminium-free?
Yeah, so no nasties, basically, because I think everyone's kind of clocked onto the fact that it's the thing that seeps into your pores really easily. It's not. You have to be careful.
It's and isn't it also because it's near your breasts that obviously if exactly. there's some carcinogenic ingredients, it's going straight into your
lymph. Yeah, and I think, yeah, it has been proven, so...
It's a roll-on, though.
I love a roll-on, yeah.
I just feel like you're rubbing your sweat into your sweat.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Like, it just doesn't seem hygienic to me.
Yeah.
But if you're putting it on after a shower...
There's no sweat to rub
There's
in.
There's no sweat.
True, true. It stops you sweating.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
It's just that dryness. But yeah, I remember at school always having spray deodorant. I think the excitement of using deodorant. Mm. And then there was definitely a period where everyone went off spray deodorants.
It was all CFC gases, wasn't it?
And then... I just do remember that roll-on became yeah. the thing.
A thing, yeah.
And I haven't used it for years and years and years and years.
There is a divide, I think, with deodorants. You're either
Are you a spray or roll-on?
I like a bit of both, but I do like a roll-on. I'm not offended by roll-ons.
Okay. I'm not offended. Maybe I should give it a try.
And also the Lumen. If you haven't tried that brand, it's one of the best brands I've ever used.
Oh, really?
Came to the UK last year and they have this Instant Glow Beauty Serum, which I wear every day.
Oh, it's a lovely idea of a good serum. Oh,
it's like a thin foundation, basically, but it's more of a serum, but it's so sheer and pretty. But they've just launched a new Vitamin C Brightening Lotion and it's just really nice for dull winter complexions.
And where can you buy that?
You can get it from Feel Unique, Look Fantastic. Fantastic. There's loads of online retailers that do it.
I'm going to give that a go.
Definitely give it a look. It's all Nordic. It's beautiful.
It's an amazing price point as well.
I was about to say, and that is an amazing price point.
£13.90 for the Brightening Beauty Lotion.
Lovely.
Oh, I like the sound of that. Let's finish on some fashion and what to wear when it's really cold. Well, a vest. Who's wearing a piece of vest? Who wears a vest?
Me. I love a good vest.
I love a vest. I've got one on today, actually.
Gee, I mean, I need to get back on board. I used to love a thermal.
Yeah, I love a
back
thermal.
In the day. Why do I not wear them? I feel the cold so much.
Yeah. It's so good. Just tuck yourself in. You just don't get any draft up your t-shirt jumper, especially if you like something loose or like an untucked shirt, then just having like a little layer that's tucked in.
Where do you buy your vests?
M&S, H&M. I've got some really nice like silk camisoles, and even that just tucked in, I think it's really nice. Ooh. Gap, amazing.
Do you wear thermals?
No, I just wear like a simple cotton or a silk cami.
I've got a thermal on today. I quite
Have
like
you?
It. Yeah, the thought of going out in -3 this morning with no thermal or anything, it was just too much.
I don't know what I'm doing not wearing vests. I feel the cold so much.
They have a fabric that they have trademarked that they sell that it's called like thermos.
Yes.
And they do kind of like scoop neck, long sleeves, so you could even have it under a jumper.
I know, we've written about them. I think you're quite right. I need to get myself some. I've got a lot to do after today's podcast.
Let's go online.
What am I doing? I'm booking
some exhibitions.
I'm booking exhibitions. I'm buying thermals.
Copper lined box for your keys.
My copper lined box. And I'm going to look into driving my Lego skiing.
On that note, that's all we've got time for this week. If you enjoyed that, then do please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. We'll be back soon. Bye bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.